Adam, a 15-year-old sophomore, walks from his family's cramped apartment in the projects on the south side of Chicago to his underfunded public school every day. Last summer, his older brother was killed in a drive-by shooting while the two boys were hanging out on a street corner together. Now he finds it difficult to concentrate in school, has trouble retaining lessons, and is often sent to the principal's office for explosive behavior. He's not sleeping well, and his grades, never very good, are slipping to the point where he may have to repeat a year. 15-year-old Zara lives in a multi-million-dollar house and attends a posh private school in the Washington, D.C. area. Her parents hope she will make the cutoff for a National Merit Scholarship when she takes the PSAT this fall. So she fits in test prep between field hockey practice, volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, and 3 to 4 hours of homework per night. Zara is getting good grades, but she's not sleeping well. She finds herself talking back to her parents and snapping at her friends, and she complains of frequent headaches. We all know to worry about Adam. Statistics suggest he has a tough road ahead. What we don't know is that we should worry about Zara, too. Chronic sleep deprivation and toxic stress during a critical phase of brain development are endangering her long-term mental and physical health. If you put a scan of Zara's brain next to one of Adam's, you'd see striking similarities, particularly in the parts of the brain involved in the stress response system. In recent years, we've learned a lot about the damage athletes suffer from hitting their heads too much, either on soccer balls or on the 260-pound linebacker in their way. Today, we think about the long-term consequences of concussions. Yeah, he looks okay now, but too many more of those and he's not going to remember his kids' names. We think stress should be talked about in this way, too. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on the brain, especially on young brains. It's like trying to grow a plant in a too small pot. As any casual gardener knows, doing so weakens the plant, with long-term consequences. Rates of stress-induced illnesses are extremely high in every demographic, and researchers are working furiously to uncover the reasons behind the rise in anxiety disorders, eating disorders, depression, binge drinking, and worrisome patterns of self-harm in young people. As Madeline Levine has made us aware, affluent children and teens are at particularly high risk for developing mental health problems such as anxiety, mood, and chemical use disorders. In fact, a recent survey showed that 80% of students in an affluent and competitive Silicon Valley high school reported moderate to severe levels of anxiety, and 54% reported moderate to severe levels of depression. Depression is now the number one cause of disability worldwide. We think of chronic stress in children and teenagers as the societal equivalent of climate change, a problem that has been building over generations and will take considerable effort and a change of habits to overcome. So what does a sense of control have to do with all of this? The answer is everything. Quite simply, it is the antidote to stress. Stress is the unknown, the unwanted, and the feared. It's as minor as feeling unbalanced and as major as fighting for your life. Sonia Lupien at the Center for Studies on Human Stress has a handy acronym for what makes life stressful. NUTS. N. Novelty. Something you have not experienced before. U. Unpredictability. Something you had no way of knowing would occur. T. Threat to the ego. Your safety or competence as a person is called into question. S. Sense of control. You feel you have little or no control over the situation.